She met her husband at a nudist colony.
You did, Joy.
Partial nudist colony.
First of all, he was nude. I was dressed.
Like I said, flyer with a flag upon entry.
Were you dressed-ish?
Yeah,
I was fully
clothed.
Did
you have on shorts?
No. Clothes like her, the transparent stuff?
Yeah, real clothes.
I was fully clothed. Bathing suit? It was a place, it was a resort. No, I don't wear bathing suits in public.
Neither does Steve.
Are you crazy?
You're not going to get this one. How would you like it if I kicked you in the nuts so hard they get lodged in your fucking nostrils?
For a moment, I forgot what was happening. I forgot what you were doing. And I felt threatened. So I'm trying to put... And then I remembered. So I'm trying to put myself in the position of feeling threatened by Whoopi Goldberg. And what character would be threatening? Is it... Okay... Maybe this doesn't make sense. Is it Girl Interrupted?
No. I think that was a pretty good guess.
Thank you.
Do you want to know what it is?
Yeah.
It's from a movie that I've never seen, and it is Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Oh my god, that was going to be my second guess, but the reason I didn't guess it is that I haven't seen that movie either. But for some reason... That movie has been, like, top of mind lately, and I don't know if they were talking about it on The View or what, but I feel like I've been hearing about it lately.
It's something I never saw because it came out before I was born, but I just saw today that it was directed by Penny Marshall, and I didn't realize that, and I'm a little bit more intrigued to see it now.
I'm reading the synopsis. It's got Carol Kane in it, first of all. It's an American spy comedy film. Like, why haven't either one of us seen it? One thing about us is we love an American spy comedy film.
Yeah. That's kind of our thing, famously.
We should watch this movie and then talk about it at some point on the podcast.
Yeah, I would love to go through Whoopi's filmography more. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, that is what I'm doing a little bit right now with this little game.
That's just the journey of life. I think I like this little life.
So something that we need to correct from our last episode is we mm-hmm. talked about how we want to see Renee rap on The View. Immediately we received a barrage of hatred telling us that she was, in fact, on The View already, and that is true. I did see that when it happened, but I forgot. She wasn't at the panel as a co-host, though, which is what we truly want, but she was there promoting her album, and they did an interview, and then she sang a song.
I also have to say, I do apologize, it was an oversight. In our defense, it was a long time ago. It was in September, and we famously weren't as tuned in with, I'll say we weren't as tuned in with The View or with Renee Rapp in September as we are now. So for us to remember that little detail, I don't feel so bad about it. I feel like there's been worse lapses in my memory than this moment. And like you said, was she really on if she wasn't sitting at the panel?
Yeah. Talking about the news of the day, talking about the New Hampshire primary.
Talking about how people who are 18 were born in 2005.
Yeah. You know how I found out about Renee Rapp?
How?
From Sherry Shepherd.
And that's how it should be. That's who should be delivering, the biggest news of the year.
Because I think one of the first times I saw Renee Rapp was on the Sherry Shepherd show, because Sherry plays one of the main characters' moms on The Sex Lives of College Girls.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so she introduced me to Renee Rapp. And at the time that Renee was on The View, I don't think I had even listened to Snow Angel. I'm just getting into Renee's music now.
I'll be honest, I'm not even there yet.
Oh, wow.
I'm at Mean Girls level of knowing Renee Rapp. but I don't know her more intimately than that, and nor do I know if I ever will. So for her to be on The View is also partly selfish, because I'd like to know more while also just watching a show that I already watch.
Did you see Mean Girls yet? Because I just saw it this last week.
Yeah, I did see it.
I went to the theater in the basement that we both like.
I went to the theater in Fredericton, New Brunswick, which isn't literally the basement, but...
It's giving basement.
It's giving basement.
What did you
think? I also just want to say I went to the same... I saw the Beyoncé Renaissance film at the same theater where there were two other people in the theater with us, with me and my girlfriend, and... When I went to Mean Girls in the same theater, it was a completely packed house to the brim.
I can imagine that people in the Maritimes probably would pack the house for Mean Girls. Did you enjoy it? Because I have mixed feelings about it.
I had seen so much on TikTok and social media of people saying how that it was bad, that my expectations were so low going in. My expectations were basement.
Me too. Yeah, I saw so many bad reviews that I went into it being like, okay, this is going to be terrible. But I ended up thinking it was like, it was okay.
Yeah, like there were parts where I was really sliving for it, I'll be honest. I thought that the guy who played Damien, like without him... It would have been a different film. I thought that he really killed it, and like he brought a lot of the humor that was in the original one. He brought that back for me. So there were some performances that I really, really loved. I thought Renee Rapp did really great, and I thought that Damien was perfect.
Damien and Janice were both amazing, and I thought Renee was like so charismatic and put her own like thing into Regina George. It wasn't like a copy of Rachel McAdams, but as you were about to say,
so did you know that Sabrina Carpenter played Katie Caddy on the Broadway version of this?
At one point she did,
obviously. Sabrina Carpenter and the people who are the Sabrina Carpenter level were booked and busy. Some of them on the Eras tour. Some of them probably doing other Broadway shows. So I've heard a lot of people talking about how this movie, it's like the main character is Regina George. But I don't know if that was like on purpose or born out of necessity. If you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, I'm very aligned with what TikTok's reviews have been on this movie. Like, the girl who played Katie gave a basement performance. Like, it was just giving nothing. Like, there was nothing. And I feel the same way about Gretchen. And although the Karen was giving a lot of character, I wasn't crazy about it because it was like she was like a cartoon character and not like, whereas Amanda Seyfried's Karen is like, that's like a real person. So
totally.
I thought all the plastics besides Renee were all just not for me.
It's so weird because seeing the movie, it feels like the people who were playing Karen and Gretchen, it seems obvious that they should have swapped characters.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, they should have swapped characters. Karen had a great singing voice, I'll say that. Like, when she was just acting, I was, like, not getting it. But her singing and performance was really, really good.
I just thought it's so surprising that they would cast, like, in the iconic Lindsay Lohan role that they, like, no one's gonna, like, live up to that. But why did we get what we got?
Also, like, I'm just gonna say... this that I think anyone who's seen the movie is probably also thinking it's a musical, and typically in musical we like singers.
Well, that's kind of like a thing. Well, that this always happens in movie musicals, but that's what I'm seeing a lot of TikToks about. I'm seeing like a lot of comparisons of like the Broadway vocals versus the movie singing vocals. And
if the person playing Katie was a superstar, amazing actress, and just didn't really have the vocals, that would be one thing.
Yes.
But for it to be I'm a virtual nobody who also can't really hold a note. It's just an interesting choice. But if we want to look at it with a silver lining, it afforded more superstar time on screen for people like Renee Rapp and for like the Damien and Janice to like really shine.
Yeah, I all in all, like, I had fun. I enjoyed it. And I thought the way that they didn't, the script, it's not, I've never seen the Broadway show. And I liked that they changed a lot of the iconic lines, because I was just like expecting to hear those lines and like them to not, you know, we've heard them so many times. Like, Mean Girls is one of those things that, like, it's not having a resurgence because it never went away. So it was nice to see, like, that they weren't just using the same jokes. They, like, mixed it up a bit.
Yeah. But the ones that they did repeat, like, the moments that they did repeat, like, especially the ones that had Damien and Janice in them, they felt like, it felt funny. Like, it felt like a good homage. And when Regina comes to school with the burn book, and she's wearing that, like, iconic, like, off-the-shoulder black top and the hair slicked back. Like, that was the exact, it was the exact outfit that Rachel McAdams wore in the first one. So I thought that, like, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that costume I was happy to see. I did also see a lot of criticisms of the wardrobe in the movie in general, where people were just saying, like, really taking, like, a deep dive into the character and being like, Regina would not be wearing sheen. Regina would be wearing, like, something much more unique.
That's so crazy, though, because, like, have people forgotten that it's not like Regina George isn't wearing Gucci and Chanel and Versace in the original. She's very much wearing Abercrombie and Hollister. It's like she's wearing the basic, like, high school hot girl brands. She wasn't, like, wearing those, like, insane brands that, like, now we expect our young celebrities to wear. So for her to be wearing Sheen and, like, Forever 21 is, like, I don't see the big deal.
Well, yeah, I'm not, you know, a fashionista, but the criticisms were just mostly that they think she would be wearing, like, more daring pieces, not necessarily Gucci and Versace, but just that she would be taking more fashion risks rather than wearing, you know.
I don't know. I feel like wearing a bustier corset to school is kind of a fashion risk at 17.
I love when, like, people say corset as though it's a woman's name and turn it into corset. That's one of my favorite things that people do.
I've never not said corset. There are
I'd like to know her. She sounds fun. She sounds snatched.
I've never not said corset, and I'm not about to stop saying corset. I'll tell you that right now.
Don't ever change.
The one other thing that I wanted to say about Mean Girls is having that, like, by the end of the film, I got used to the person who was playing Katie, and then Lindsay the Lohan appears on the screen for a cameo, and it's like, oh my god, like, finally an actress.
That's
it's
what, like, I was thinking of you, because when we were watching The Color Purple and Whoopi made her cameo and you were like, oh, an actress. That's how I felt when Lindsay arrived. Because, and also, like, she was giving, like, some, in her minimal performance, she was still giving so much charisma and, like, making little nuanced choices that were funny, where it was just like, yes, like, this is what an actress used to be.
Like, such a flawless and yet feels effortless performance. And it felt like people on Survivor when they're, like, so happy to have rice to eat because it's better than starving. And then they get to compete for a little bit of seasoning. And they put, like, they put two little sprinkles of, like, kosher salt on their rice. And they're like, oh my god, like, now we're talking. Well, in that moment, Lindsay Lohan was the little flake of salt, and it was like, oh, thank God.
I always think, like, I'll just never get over what happened to Lindsay Lohan's career, because I think she deserved to graduate to the next level of, you know, a legacy actress who is getting nominated for Oscars and things, but she never even reached, like, Jennifer Lawrence level, and I always think, and this is not a diss to Emma Stone, because I'm obsessed with Emma Stone as well, but when I saw Easy A, I thought, this girl's about to steal Lindsay Lohan's entire thing. And
yep.
I was watching the movie Poor Things with Emma Stone, and I loved it. And I obviously there's room for two ginger actors in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But clearly there's not, because Lindsay gets nothing. And here is Emma Stone.
Crazy.
Like, I would love to see the alternate universe where Lindsay is also starring in her own Poor Things.
Imagine if La La Land had starred Lindsay Lohan. I might have actually finished the movie with a smile on my face if Lindsay Lohan had starred in La La Land. It's crazy how when Mean Girls came out, Lindsay Lohan, out of those four, out of the plastics, she was the, like, without a question, the biggest name out of all of them. And then to look at where we are now in the year of our Lord 2024, how Lindsay Lohan and Lacey Chabert are basically on the same level in terms of the way that people, Hollywood looks at them. Meanwhile, Rachel McAdams and Amanda Seyfried.
Was that not how you say it?
I don't know. I panicked at the last second.
I always say Seyfried, like seaweed.
Yeah.
But it probably is Seyfried.
Well, now they're like at the Oscars. And I'm not saying it's not deserved, because I love both of them. If Rachel McAdams has one fan on this earth, it's me. So I'm not saying they don't deserve it, but it's like so crazy that we've come to a point where Lindsay is like the one who's doing the made for TV, like, the Netflix, like, Christmas movies. And it's not because she's not a good actress. She's a phenomenal actress, and she absolutely lights up every scene that she's in. So, like, where did we go wrong?
Well, she took too many vitamins, as she told Oprah.
Maybe I said, where did we go wrong? And then immediately thought back to that video on Instagram Live where she was trying to kidnap that kid. And I thought, maybe it's less about where did we go wrong. Maybe those aren't the right questions to be asking. But anyway, I was really glad to see her on Mean Girls. And I also, as a side note, thought it was so funny to bring it back to Renee Rapp that when she was the musical guest on SNL, Rachel McAdams was fine with making an appearance there, but every other thing related to Mean Girls in the last, like, 10 years, Rachel McAdams was like, I'm good, love.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that Mean Girls commercial.
Mm-hmm.
That
the Walmart one?
Yeah, and I thought, I respected her for saying no to that. It's a commercial for Walmart.
And that was basically her response, was like, I would have done something. I just didn't want to do a commercial for Walmart. Like, okay. Understood.
Yeah.
Like,
copy that,
queen. Yeah.
Today's actually been a very big day for me, because this is the second podcast that I've recorded today, because I was doing a podcast with Sean on Drop Your Buffs, where we were talking about the Traitors UK.
Oh my god.
And I was thinking, because I'm also watching the Traitors USA right now. Are you watching that?
I actually watched all of the episodes that are out from season 2 thus far all last night.
Oh my god. So you had a big late night, I would say.
I actually did. I went to sleep in the very early hours of the morning on a high, having just seen Kate Chastain on my screen again, and left wanting for more.
I was thinking about how the Traitors USA has kind of finally filled the void that Celebrity Apprentice left. I was a huge fan of Celebrity Apprentice. Obviously, it had Donald Trump on it, so it's a little bit problematic, but he was never the good thing about that show, and he contributed nothing positive to my enjoyment of that show. It sucked that he was on that show, but that show was so good because you got to see people like Star Jones and NeNe Leakes in a full-on feud, and then you got to watch the aftermath of that play out in the media, and you got to hear NeNe Leakes say iconic things to Star Jones, like, now where's Barbara Walters, as she stands over her intimidatingly. Yeah. And I was thinking about the Traitors USA and seeing the Phaedra and Parvati scene where Phaedra confronts Parvati. And I was like, this is so Celebrity Apprentice. Like, it just took me back to that Star Jones moment. And so...
Yes. I think, like, after Celebrity Apprentice went off the air, it was a long time of, like, where we didn't get that mashup of, like, blending different people from different reality universes. It was a really long time before we got that treat again. So this totally has filled that. For me, like, that was your moment. For me, it was episode, at the end of episode one or two, whenever they show Peppermint being banished, and she leaves, and Sheree Whitfield goes, "Now I'm mad." She's like, that's like what's happening inside of my brain 90% of the time is Peppermint moments and Sheree moments. And so for that mashup to happen was like, I was hooked. That's why I had to spend the next 5 hours watching more of it.
Everyone has been kind of dragging Sheree because every time there's a vote, she like votes incorrectly. And then she turns to everyone and is like, look what y'all made me do. And it's like, you did it.
I get her. I get her. I'm like, she's right. Because she goes into every roundtable being like, I know that so-and-so is a traitor. I know this. And it's like her, I agree with her opinions. Then she goes and sits down and sees how everyone else is voting. And she gets scared and is like, I don't want to be the odd one out. And so then she's like, look what you guys made me do. And I'm like, I get her. I get it.
It's also just so funny for Fader to be a traitor. She was the one that I was hoping they would make a traitor from the beginning. And just the connections of her on Real Housewives of Atlanta, like pursuing her funeral license and like...
Yes.
Being like obsessed with death, and then also the fact that like the reason that she left the show is because she like made up such a nasty lie about Candy that she like had to leave the show because she was
like legally
like perfect casting. Anyways,
I loved in one of the episodes when Phaedra is talking about lying and like backstabbing and stuff. She's like, as a lawyer, I'm used to being around murderers and defending them and having no problem. I'm like, did you just out
your clients? Yeah, and also like, I thought she was an entertainment lawyer or something like that. I didn't think, wasn't she Bobby Brown's lawyer? I didn't think she was like representing murderers, but anyways.
I don't know, but I just believe, I believe everything that Phaedra says at all times, because I don't think that anyone has ever spoken with more conviction in the entire world than Phaedra at any moment in time.
Yeah. I'm totally hooked.
Yeah.
Ready for this segue?
Yes.
Speaking of hooked, like the shape of an anchor.
Got it.
On The View this last week, Whoopi revealed something that gagged me so hard.
Yeah.
I truly was choking, laughing, because everyone has been following this 9-month-long cruise that's been happening for a couple months now, I think. And
yes.
It's a cruise that takes you to 7 continents, all the wonders of the world, and 60 countries. And it's a lot of people have been paying close attention to it because there's been a lot of people making TikToks from it and, revealing the day-to-day of the cruise ship. It really, the premise of the cruise sounds so dystopian to me. It sounds, it's like, it reminds me of Snowpiercer. Like the people who signed up for this are doing Snowpiercer.
Oh, yeah. It has the makings of, like, a novel or a movie about how people went on this cruise and then something horrible happened in the world and they're the only people left alive.
Yes. Yes. Or, like, they know... Yeah, exactly. Like, they know something and they got on that cruise because they know what's happening in the next 9 months.
Yeah.
There was a Rolling Stone article that came out about all of the TikTok coverage that... Well, everyone keeps saying, like... TikTok has turned the cruise into a reality show, which I think has been like a really overused phrase, because I think while there is a lot of social media content coming out from the cruise, I don't think any of it has been like that compelling or that much drama. It's not like a reality show. It's been interesting seeing the living quarters and stuff, but I think that's like such a just overused like headline that TikTok turned it into a reality show. Like,
People really. Are just vlogging from the cruise.
Yeah,
let's
as
be
they
real.
Do. Yeah. There was like this one, the reason that this came up on The View was because there was this one TikToker in particular. He got sponsored to go on the cruise for 18 days. It turns out that not everyone is on the cruise for 9 months. Like there are some people can come and go. Like some people didn't pay for the whole thing. I think they initially wanted everyone to pay for the full 9 months, but it didn't, like, not, I don't know. There's people who can come and
trying
go.
To process what you're telling me, because, like, I feel like the whole thing is like, oh, you're on it for 9 months. So to suddenly know now that you can just hop on, hop off.
So I
is
think it
very strange to me.
I think what I read, correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, okay. but I read that they wanted it to be for 9 months, and that's how they were selling the tickets initially. But I don't know if they fully sold out the 9 months, so they started right. selling for some people for shorter journeys. And this okay. TikToker was sponsored to go on the cruise for 18 days, and he said, because of everyone saying, oh, we're going to turn this into a reality show and like get all the yeah. drama, he said his mission was to go on the cruise and cause drama and get the tea. And okay. what happened was he went on the cruise and ended up like hating the cruise. And he all of his content basically was about like how ugly the ship is, and like ended up not so much talking about like the interpersonal drama on the ship, but just talking about how much he hated this cruise.
And exposing the cruise. Like he's reality Von Teese of the cruise.
Yeah, very that. And the reason, so what we have now learned in from one of his TikToks is that ships actually have godmothers. And yeah. in one of his videos, he reveals that Whoopi is the godmother of the Serenade of the Seas, which is this ship. Yeah. And so this came up on The View as like a short little hot topic. On The View, they play just a short snippet of his TikTok where he's like, you guys, it turns out Whoopi's the godmother. He's mm-hmm. like, Whoopi, we gotta talk. And then they like cut it off. But what they yeah. didn't show was that he goes on to be like, as an EGOT winner, I don't feel like this is the ship for you. Anyways, the point is that he hates the cruise and Whoopi's the godmother of this shitty cruise.
I went ahead and did some independent research about her being the godmother of the cruise and also cruise godmothers in general, if
me
you'd
too.
Like me to share that.
Oh my
okay,
God.
We can share and compare.
There's one thing that I really want to gag you with, and I
okay.
am hoping and praying that you didn't come across this already.
Oh no.
Because
I
would
feel like I did. I think I did. Okay, but you go ahead.
Well, no. I mean, I was just going to say I learned what a cruise god... I mean, you can go ahead. Tell us what no. a cruise ship godmother is.
Okay, no, you do that part.
Okay, well, I'd never heard of a cruise ship godmother. I'd never been on a cruise ship, unlike yeah. Joy Behar and Barbara Walters and Judge Judy. But apparently, it's a longstanding tradition for new ships to be sponsored by... in the beginning, like, a civilian, typically a woman. And mm-hmm. it just means that they're selected to give good luck and protection to the vessel. And they just have to attend the ceremonial launch and naming ceremony. And then they bless the ship. And sometimes they crack a bottle of champagne. Or in this day and age, they push a button or pull a lever that triggers a bottle of champagne to smash into the ship.
Right. And Whoopi's actually been the godmother of two ships. She was the godmother of this other ship called, like, the Viking of the Seas or something. But in 2002, that ship retired. And so that's when they gave her this Serenade of the Seas ship, because the other one was retiring.
Mm.
So she's actually a two-time godmother of ships. And that's why she said, like, this happened 20 years ago. So the ship... it's not like she's... I don't want people to get confused and think that she's the godmother of this nine-month-long hellscape, alleged hellscape. She is specifically the godmother of the ship.
The boat.
And this cruise... of the boat. And this cruise just happens to be happening on that one. So she's been the godmother of this boat for over 20 years now.
I also read that... apparently, the Titanic is one of the only ships that did not have a godmother.
That's really scary.
So it is taken very seriously. I also came across this TikTok contest that Royal Caribbean recently did, where they, because, like, I guess it's always been celebrities, but now they're trying to, like, move it into inspiring women territory.
Okay.
And so Royal Caribbean did this TikTok contest where they were looking for a Wonder Mom. And so people had to, like, make TikTok videos to say, like, why they are a Wonder Mom and, like, nominate Wonder Moms. And then now there's, like, this mom who is, like, become, like, TikTok famous. And she's, like, has all these TikToks of her, like, on the cruise because she won the contest. And she's, oh my like, God. I don't know. I just got really, like, deep into the godship godmother.
That's giving hype woman, viral hype woman trend.
Yes. I made a list of famous ship godmothers.
Okay.
I'm assuming we have the same list.
Well, here's the thing. I looked at a list and I noticed a pattern that, like, a lot of the ones that were coming up on the list that I was seeing were, like, royals or people who, like, old Hollywood kind of big names. Audrey Hepburn, like that kind of thing, or literal royals, like princesses and queens. And so then when it was like, and Whoopi, I'm like, oh my God, this is like a massive, this is actually a huge honor to be the godmother of a ship. And then the other person who I saw, who I was gagged by, is Kim Cattrall.
Yes.
Kim Cattrall is the godmother of the Norwegian Dawn, also since 2002. And this is where it gets, I'm like, oh my God, to be at the inaugural godmother celebration of the Norwegian Dawn in 2002, that's, if I could go back in time, this is where I would be. It says it was a huge event with appearances from the cast of Rent and musical numbers from the Harlem Boys Choir. That, imagine being at the Kim Cattrall Norwegian Dawn godmother event. And the cast of Rent and the Harlem Boys Choir are doing musical numbers. I don't think there's been a gayer event in history. I want to find out who threw the champagne bottle at that event.
Okay. So, did you do any more research about this ship?
About the Norwegian Dawn?
Yes.
That was where I...
Okay.
That was where it ended.
Prepare to be gagged, bitch.
Oh, God. Oh my God, I'm so scared of what you're about to tell me.
So, Kim Cattrall is the godmother of the Norwegian Dawn.
I know what you're about to say. I feel it.
Which, what took the maiden voyage Stop. Of Rosie O'Donnell's Our Family Vacation's Stop. Gay cruise. So, Kim Kardashian, or sorry, Kim Cattrall was the godmother to the ship that Rosie's first ever Our Family Vacation cruise took place on.
When I said, does it get gayer than that? You said, yeah.
Hold my purse.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, sometimes the world works in such a way that it's like,
it's it's just wild to me because we always say everything comes back to the view, but yeah. I never even considered even the cruise ship industry.
That's so crazy. When you were like, wait, there's more, I started getting full body chills and I was like, I'm about to throw up because I know what he's going to say.
I was so scared that you already knew because I had been holding on to this for so long and I just couldn't wait to reveal it. But I looked up some other famous celebrity godmothers. Helen Mirren is a godmother to P&O's Ventura. Reba McEntire is Norwegian Epic. Jennifer wow. Hudson is the godmother to the Disney Dream. Katy Perry is godmother to Norwegian Cruise Line's Prima. Oprah.
Oh my God.
Oprah is godmother to Holland America's Neo Statendam. Jennifer Lopez is Virgin Voyage's Valiant Lady. And oh Nicole Scherzinger is P&O's Arriva or Arvia. And Kristen Chenoweth is Quantum of the Seas godmother.
Those are, oh my God, that's just like star upon star upon star. Powerful women.
Powerful cruises. I didn't know.
Powerful cruises. Now that I know that this is a thing that exists, if I ever start looking at a cruise, the very first thing I'm looking up before even considering it is, now who the fuck is the godmother? Because if me and the godmother aren't like energetically like aligned. In tune, aligned, then I know that it's not going to go well.
It's going to be one of rough seas. It's going to be the Drake Passage. It's going to be the Triangle of Sadness.
It's going to be the cruise where like all the toilets backed up. But if I hear that it's like Kristen Chenoweth, or I'm getting on the, oh, it's the Idina Menzel cruise. Thank you.
Yeah.
Packed my bags. If it's bags like, are packed.
Yeah. If I'm like about to book the cruise and it's like with Godmother, Roseanne Barr.
Yeah. Nope.
I'm going to keep looking.
Yeah. But then you click to the next one. It's like with Godmother, Jewel.
Yeah.
There we go.
The Jewel of the Sea. I actually did Google. I Googled if any other View co-hosts were godmothers. I don't think mm-hmm. Barbara Walters was. I couldn't find one for Rosie Perez. And I also looked up Raven Simone. And then I was like, okay, well, I know Abby Huntsman's not a cruise ship godmother. So I can probably stop. I probably don't need to search Paula Ferris. But I think it's just Whoopi and Rosie O'Donnell.
If Jedediah Bela was a cruise godmother, get off the boat. Grab a life raft and run. You know who else? Just for any like cruise line executives listening to this podcast, you know who else should be the godmother of a cruise? Jennifer Coolidge. Just like, it seems obvious. Just putting it out there.
Yeah. Have you ever been on a cruise?
No, but you know what? And maybe I've talked about this on the podcast before. I recently, because I am obsessed with whale watching, I recently really started to get into the idea of going on one of those like Antarctic, like 3 week long cruises. And so I can see that like in my future.
I don't want to burst your bubble, but I think with your weak stomach, I think you should aim a little easier level, because I'm pretty sure to get to the Antarctic, like that's like a whole thing that happened on the 9 month cruise, is they had to go through the Drake's Passage, yeah. Which is like turbulent, I believe. So,
but the weird thing about my stomach, and I feel like we're in a safe place to discuss it because everyone's heard it before, I don't get seasick at all. Knock on wood, but I've never gotten seasick before.
Unless there's some chicken on board.
Unless I've eaten chicken of the sea. For me, it's really food based. So I feel like if I get on a cruise and I am eating, and I'm very, very particular about what I'm eating and when, it's going to be smooth sailing, literally.
I've never been on a cruise. I would like to go on one. It's just very low on my list of, like, things I'd like to right. do in travel-wise.
Have you heard of, like, those cruises? I feel like it's becoming more of a popular thing now where, like, specific singers or bands or entertainers will do their own cruise.
Yeah.
Like, Paramore does a cruise, and I don't know if I dreamt this up, but I think there was a Melissa Etheridge cruise or something. But see, that's something that I think that would be like my gateway into cruising.
Yep. No comment. I just got really distracted when you said cruising.
and the thought of Melissa Etheridge and cruising were two very different things for you.
Yeah, you just, anyways. Yeah, I would like to go on a cruise one day, but I think the perfect time to do it is like when you're retired, because as this TikToker who was covering the 9 month cruise said, it's like a retirement home on water. So
that honestly sounds fine for me right now. That's part of the appeal to go on this like 3 week long whale watching cruise, is like it's going to be elderly people. I'm not going to have to fight anyone to get one of the poolside lounge chairs, and they're going to be serving the most basic mashed potatoes and peas meals. So I probably won't get food poisoning.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I love whale watching, so I would do that too. But anyways, Whoopi asked the co-host if they would be interested in going on the 9 month cruise. Joy actually said yes, which that feels correct.
Yeah.
But
she brought up a really good point, though. She said that this nine-month-long cruise cost $54,000, but it's for 9 months. And so
I think it costs even more. I think it costs $100,000. That's what I saw, but who knows?
Well, she said $54,000, so for two people, it'd be over $100,000.
Oh, okay,
She said assisted living costs the same thing for the same amount of time, but this way, you get to see the Taj Mahal. And I was like, that's so true. For rent in Toronto, for what we pay in rent in Toronto, we could be on that cruise seeing 60 countries.
Yeah, that is true. That is a good way of looking at it. Also, like, very interesting to hear that she's been looking up the cost of assisted living.
Like, how does she just know that off the top of her head?
Sarah said she doesn't think she can handle 9 months. She said, I don't know about you guys, but when I go on vacation, I take the guardrails off. So basically she was saying she doesn't think she could do 9 months of eating and drinking the way that she does when she's on vacation. She takes the guardrails off and the sleeves off. I'm actually going to an all-inclusive for the first time this weekend.
That's really exciting.
And I'm looking forward to taking the guardrails off.
Yeah. I've never been to an all-inclusive. I've never been on a cruise, and I've never been to an all-inclusive. So if any cruise ship directors still listening out there, feel free to sponsor Deja La View's first cruise.
Yeah, I've never been either, as I said, but there's something about, like, it just feels, it's like I'm trash, and it feels like that's...
It already feels like coming home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, moving on from cruise ships, I want to talk about Citizen McCain.
Oh, yeah.
The artist known as Citizen McCain.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I don't know if you noticed, but we haven't talked about Meghan McCain in a while, and this is what she's up to. She has launched a new digital show called Citizen McCain. I'm not sure why she launched this, because she already has a podcast that covers very similar things called Meghan McCain Has Entered the Chat.
Mm.
But in her new YouTube show, it features her sitting at a desk with a laptop next to a cactus and a little ceramic cowboy boot shaped mug. Actually, at one point, she drinks from the boot, and she says, my dad died, so I'm having his cowboy boots dipped in bronze so I can display them. When she said that, I was like,
yeah.
God, I've missed you.
Yeah, she said, oh, I love this boot mug. I love cowboy boots. I wanted my dad's cowboy boots after he died. Like, just seamless. Like,
it was like
not even a second later. I wanted my dad's cowboy boots when he died, and I got them, and now I'm going to have them dipped in bronze to keep them in my house. And then I think that she had a moment of reflection and said, it's kind of sad.
Yes, she did.
It's also important to note that she seemingly is recording live from inside the Trixie Motel.
Yes, the decor is giving the Trixie Motel.
Yeah.
So I had not listened to her podcast or really kept up with her Daily Mail articles or anything in a while. Like, I really took a big break from her. So when I ended up listening to the most recent episode of her podcast, and I watched her new digital show, Citizen McCain, and I took a lot of notes. I did a lot of research for everyone.
It's a good thing that you did, and I felt like, because I also watched the video, and I actually was like, at first I was like, oh, am I contributing to, like, making this become a really popular thing? But then I looked at the amount of views that it had, and it only has 4,800 views. And so I didn't feel that bad, because I thought, oh, okay.
So she opened her new Citizen McCain digital show by saying, I've been doing this a long time. The first interview that I did was when I was 11. And then she shows a clip of her being interviewed at that, it's like a kind of a famous video of her at one of her dad's election events, where they, like, throw the mic to young McCain. But I love that she was like, I did my first interview at 11. It's like, no, like, that's someone put a mic in your
loose,
face.
Yeah, we're getting very loose with the definition of an interview right now.
Yeah. And then she says, I am the original political Nepo baby. Mm-hmm. She goes on to, like, give her credentials for doing this digital show by saying that she spent a lot of time working in corporate media over her life. And the thing about corporate media is that they want to control what you say. And she wants to have the freedom now to say whatever she wants. And then she proceeds to shade Don Lemon because I guess he had recently said that he doesn't want to do corporate media anymore. And she was like, babe, you were fired. They kicked you out. So she's like,
whether you want to call it, whether you were put on pause or fired.
She's like already throwing shade at people. And I live for that. She said the show is going to be her talking about current events and the news. She said that like, that's what fuels her. And it is kind of like her doing The Daily Show, but she's the head writer and the host. And
It was
kind of a fun watch, like, for me, because I think it needs a little bit more editing, but she does do, like, a lot of fun pop-ups as she's talking. Like, she has, like, a little box in the corner, like The Daily Show. It needs more music and more visuals. I feel like they could edit it, like, Like, it's... I feel like she could really... Well,
since she's right there at the Trixie Motel anyway.
Yeah, I feel like she could really, like, ramp up the editing, and it could really be something entertaining for her audience. She also talked about, like, air travel and aliens. So it wasn't just political stuff. Like, she...
She did Hot Topics without saying the words Hot Topics.
Literally that. Yes.
The thing is, like, how she opened it being like, I don't like mainstream media. Now I can finally talk about what I want to talk about. Then proceeds to, like, sound pretty level-headed. She really clearly explained certain election, like, happenings, like what a caucus is and why these things matter and what to expect and whether it actually matters in the election and stuff. She, like, pretty clearly explained, like, the election process, like, for people who are unfamiliar, who aren't doing their thesis, like us.
And then she
also talked openly about her personal life and herself and her family, and then discussed Hot Topics. And it was like, what was holding you back from this happening on mainstream media? Because it doesn't seem like the topics or anything happening was all that different from what you were being asked to do on mainstream media, but you didn't want to do anything there.
If you didn't know anything about Meghan McCain and you came across this video on YouTube, I think you would walk away from it saying, wow, they gotta get this girl on The View.
Literally, like, I don't know what was happening. I don't know what Cyclops she put in that video, but I was watching it and I was like, why is she, like, why is she so likable?
Yeah.
And she wasn't saying anything that was super controversial. I mean, she obviously, in her first episode, stayed, she didn't get into any of the topics that she tends to go off of on social media. Typically, it stayed very much focused on, like, the Trump, the New Hampshire upcoming, because at the time it was upcoming, and the Iowa, I think it was, the caucus, and Trump, and those politics. And like you said, she did a couple of Hot Topics, and she sounded like really likable in all of them.
She was like bringing humor to it. And
yeah, she was like, when she was talking about the airplane travel, she was being like she was talking about that flight that kind of went like viral on TikTok a few weeks ago where someone had explosive diarrhea on the plane. And she was like, if I was on that flight, I would never, like, people were just expected to, like, go to work the next day. And she's like, I'd be like, hey guys, there was a diarrhea explosion on the plane, and now I'm becoming a monk, so, like, I won't be in. And then she was talking about that motherfucker there is not real. And she was like, I think that she saw an alien and is not being honest about it. I think that she saw something and is embarrassed about it. And I was like, when have me and Meghan McCain ever had the exact same opinion on something? Because that's exactly how I feel about that too.
Yeah, so I don't know, it could be a Cyclops, but
yeah
I enjoyed it. And then so that kind of led me to check out her podcast, Meghan McCain Has Entered the Chat. This has been out since 2023, and it wasn't what I expected. I think I thought that it was going to be like her doing her own version of the Jedediah Bela podcast. Yeah. And it was going to be her angry ranting and like descending into insanity. So that's what I was completely expecting. But what I got when I turned it on right off the bat was the most casual and easygoing version of Megan that there's ever been. And she started the show by giving a full review of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills then went into Salt Lake. And I don't watch Salt Lake, but she was like kind of defending Monica, or like not defending her, but saying like she doesn't think it's fair that she was fired or something, which I know is like a hot take. So, but that I was like, oh, wow, like this is, didn't we like want you to talk about this on The View? And she like wanted to be very serious on The View.
Yeah. So,
but she does still talk about politics on the podcast quite a lot. It's just not what I was expecting.
It's so bizarre. Like, what is happening on her social media where she goes on these like insane rants and like is such a like Zionist and like of in a violent way? And like, just looking at her social media, like, just is so chaotic. And then you watch the YouTube and she's like so calm, cool, and collected, and is making very very like reasonable points. And I don't know, is it that like she just hasn't talked about the topics that would be more controversial yet? Like, I don't know. But there's only one episode of the YouTube show out so far, so I guess time will tell. But I do want to say I did catch her in a lie that I just wanted to bring up. She was talking about how she, like, she was kind of explaining something about her dad's political career with regards to like why the caucuses matter and that kind of thing. She was telling a story about how she, the drunkest that she ever got was like in 2008 on part of like the political tour. And she said, I haven't drank since my 20s, really. If this was a video podcast, I would say roll the tape, because we've seen pictures of her drinking
with Sunny and Joy.
So if she feels comfortable lying about that on the show, I guess my point is maybe she feels comfortable lying and this is a psyops, and then, or I got confused about whether it's actually called a cyclops or a psyops. Because we've called it a cyclops for so long. Maybe this is a cyclops, and eventually once she's reeled in an audience of like millennials, she's gonna start like spouting the McCainisms. But I don't know.
She does like to do revisionist history. Like, she, like when she talks about The View, she will only refer to it as like a toxic place full of toxic women. But no, there was a time when like she and Joy were fond of each other. So it's not all always going to be true with Megan. The point is that she remains an engaging figure, I would say. That's the takeaway from all of this. The episode of the podcast that I listened to, it had a guest named Joe Concha, who I've never heard of. I'm sure he's probably a terrible, terrible person, but I didn't bother to look up the specifics. She said some interesting things. Like, they were talking about how, like, she and the guest met, like, 10 years ago, and Megan at that time was really resistant to having kids and was like,
okay,
no, like, I'm enjoying my single life. And then she said, well, at that time, I was receiving so many toxic messages from Sex and the City and that generation. But now I'm 39 years old, and I believe that's all a lie, and that you have to take marriage and fertility very seriously. She's saying she's evolved, and now, like, her opinion, she's even more, like, conservative when it comes to her opinions about marriage and fertility. There's a reason that I brought this up, because she said that she received toxic messages from Sex and the City that made her think that being single was a good thing when it's actually not, basically.
Right. That, she was like, that Sex and the City cyclops was too real.
That, like, somehow was like a segue for her, because out of nowhere she goes, I don't know if you know this, I was around a lot of really toxic women for a long time. Oh my God. So And then the guest is like, right, like, I've heard that they can't stop talking about you for some reason. And it's as if she, like, had wanted to bring this up the whole time, but just didn't have, like, a good segue into it. They're alluding to this thing that happened before we came back from pause, where on The View, they were talking about Hunter Biden and how he's, like, in all of this, like, legal trouble and stuff. Yeah. And I guess the House of Representatives had voted to authorize an impeachment inquiry for Biden. And so they're talking about it on The View. And Anna Navarro said, like, something along the lines of, like, did Hunter Biden, like, do this? Yes. And then she was like, did Hunter Biden influence peddle on his last name? Yes, he did. But so did half of Washington. And then she said, people sitting at this table did it. And she never named Megan. But, I mean, is she talking about Abby? Like
it, she could have been talking about, she could have been talking about Megan, but she also didn't specifically name Megan. And it's like, this whole time, Meghan McCain loves to say that The View can't stop talking about her. But it's so much the opposite. Like, it's so much that she can't stop bringing it up.
So after that Hot Topic aired, where Anna seemed to have taken a swing at Meghan for no good reason. Meghan, this was in December, mid-December. Meghan went off on Twitter. She said, I don't understand why my former colleagues bring me up and slander me on almost a weekly basis. It has been years. Move on. I've never been accused of a crime in my life, and I'm a patriotic American. I would never and have never influence peddled in my life, let alone with foreign adversaries. Not all politicians' children are the same. I am no Hunter Biden. All accusations are absurd, defamatory, and slanderous. And then she said, I will be consulting my lawyers regarding what was libeled against me on The View this morning.
Oh my God.
I love that she's like, I am no Hunter Biden. But then on Citizen McCain, she is like, I am the ultimate political nepo baby.
Like, which is it?
So anyways, on the podcast, she brings this up. And then she said that she is still looking for her apology from Anna Navarro.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I guess, like, what I don't understand is, like, why do you think this is so offensive to Meghan that Anna even said that?
That's the thing. Like, why are you keep bringing up, like, me, I'm talking to Meghan now, who's obviously listening. Why do you keep bringing up? Because as much as you say that they can't move on and you're saying it was years ago, like, girl, please be real right now. You're the one who keeps bringing it up. Every time that you take a dig at mainstream media, and when I was muzzled on mainstream media, we know what you're talking about. So it's like, you need, if you really want them to move on, you need to just stop talking about them and stop making it sound like being on The View was the worst thing that ever happened to you.
Might have been the best thing that ever happened to me. So as she's, like, detailing this again and how pissed off she still is about this on the podcast, her co-host responded by saying that the show, The View, just does not have the juice that it had when Meghan was there. And then he started dragging Anna Navarro and saying, because Anna identifies as a Republican strategist and a conservative. And he was like, no, she's not. And then Meghan jumped in and called Anna a surrogate for the Biden campaign. I mean,
okay.
I mean,
it's like, here's the thing though. It's like, is she wrong? But also, it's not like, I get that Meghan is a Republican, but she's also very anti-Trump. She's also, and this is me going based off of her YouTube show, the things that she's criticizing about the Biden campaign are like, kind of were like pretty reasonable things for her to be questioning. So it's not like she's parading, saying that she's loves Biden and is going to vote for him like she used to be. But here's the thing, she used to be.
Oh my God, I actually forgot that she was like besties with Biden.
Yes. So it's like, for her to say that Anna is a surrogate for the Biden campaign, like, Meghan, you were before. But back when you were on The View, you were.
I mean, not to the level that Anna is, like, pro-Biden, but yeah, there, you know, was an obvious dynamic between Meghan and Biden. I remember she once said she would have to quit The View if Biden was running for president because she can't say a bad thing about him.
Yeah.
Anyways, her guest went on to say that Meghan was the only person that was on The View that actually challenged the liberal guests that they had on, and that mm-hmm. her co-host just didn't like how effective she was. And I thought that was a really funny thing because, sure, Meghan was the only one at the time challenging the liberal guests. Yeah. And there's not really anyone doing that now. But to say that Meghan was effective at it is a stretch. Like, she definitely went for it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say she was effective, but it was very entertaining at the time. But yeah. I think what's always going to be missing from Meghan's, like, retelling of her experience on The View is it's not her conservative viewpoints that were why her co-hosts hated her. It's because of her personality. It's because of how, like, disrespectful and nasty she was to them. And then they started yeah. being nasty back to her.
Yeah, when they started meeting her with the same energy, suddenly it was toxic. Like, okay, but maybe the toxic was already in the room with us.
Yeah. She then went on to reference this New York Times opinion piece that came out also when we were on pause. And it was about The View. It came out in June. And it was an essay called The View Has Narrowed. And it essentially talks about, it's really good, listeners, if you haven't already read it. It talks about how The View is like kind, more or less, it's a panel of centrists. And it basically mm-hmm. like, it just kind of lays out like all of the criticisms of The View in its current iteration. But Meghan basically wanted to shout out this piece and say like how good of an article it is, while at the same time being like, I've moved on.
Yeah.
She's like reading every article about The View. That article also talks about like the difference in like Rosie and Elizabeth's political discussions and how like layered and authentic they were versus like now, where sometimes they can be a little bit like, here's my talking point, here's my talking point, here's my talking point. And so it's just it's a good read.
Yeah, to the point of like when she said that, or when her co-host said that she was so effective at it, it's like, well, her version of being effective was basically like her technique was to become possessed with Sutton from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills in that moment, which is like, name him.
Yeah.
Name him. Like, I don't know if I'm the only person out there whose mind went to this, but during that moment when Sutton was saying, name him, my brain went to Meghan McCain saying, but you won't condemn it. You won't condemn it. Will you condemn it? You better condemn it. I'm not hearing you condemn it.
Oh my God.
I was like, this is the same energy. It's the exact same thing happening. And like, it's not effective because the other person can't even get a word in because they're also just being annoyed by you now.
Yes, that is so true. There's so many moments like that I forget about that were like iconic lines that she had. It's like I really had to go through like a healing period after she left The View, and a lot of things like kind of got blacked out of my memory.
Yeah.
There also was a thing that she talked about on this particular podcast episode that got some media pickup because she was like dragging Jon Stewart, because there was an announcement that I guess Jon Stewart is coming back to The Daily Show, but only one day a week.
Okay.
So she was like making fun of him for that, and she's like used to be such a huge fan of The Daily Show, and she was like complaining on her podcast that she was like, she tuned into like his Apple show, The Problem with Jon Stewart, and she said she was mm-hmm. horrified at the sort of creature that he has morphed into. Oh my God. Complaining that he's woke, she said, I found him to be the most woke. I didn't recognize the John that I grew up loving. I hope to see the original OG Jon Stewart this year. I'm not going to hold my breath, though.
What the hell?
Basically saying that he turned woke and she doesn't like him anymore. Okay, whatever. Anyways, someone from the Daily Beast posted this article and like quoted what Meghan said. And then he wrote, did Meghan ever actually watch The Daily Show when Stewart was hosting it? She quote tweeted it and she wrote, yep, I watched it religiously growing up, was on it as a teenager, went a few times with my dad. Best part was John used to hit both sides. That's all anyone is hoping for in comedy anymore, which seems to be a big ask. And then she said, the writer's name was Justin. She said, also, Justin, it's the weekend.
Okay, sorry, but you're the one who is talking about how John used to hit it from front and back. So I was thinking, like, the craziest thing is, like, her tuning in and being like, oh my God, like, he's turned into a creature. It's like, that's kind of, I was expecting to watch the Megan YouTube show and be like, and have the Jedediah Bila show experience. You know, it was like when Jedda, I was about to call her. When little Jedda did her, like, started doing her, like, super crazy conspiracy, like, right wing YouTube show or whatever it's on, I was like, okay, it's giving creature. Like, it's giving, like,
morphed into a creature.
Fully morphed into a creature. Like, this is fully a character that's, like, meant to appeal to the worst people in North America. And I was, like, kind of expecting that from Citizen McCain. Instead, I tune in and it's like it's like a very level-headed, like, likable person talking. And so that's why I'm, like, suspicious of it, because I'm like, is this, like, the Dr. Jekyll and we're going to get the Mr. Hyde if we tune in for long enough?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I will. It won't be my number one podcast that I will tune into, but I could see myself listening to this podcast a little bit more regularly and just seeing, you know, what else is going to come up. Is she going to talk about Anna Navarro again? Is she going to talk about Real Housewives? Like, I want to know more. As far as Citizen McCain, I don't know if I'm looking for a new YouTube show to watch.
I don't know if I ever was looking for a YouTube show to watch beyond the, like, six ASM artists who I subscribe to and Rosie's channel. I'm kind of at my limit already, so I don't know where this falls in between that.
Right. Okay. I have a few little, like, view updates that I want to share. One, Whoopi has announced a new memoir.
Does it have a title?
Oh, yeah. I didn't write it down. It's supposed.
Let me guess. The I in Whoopi.
No, it's like my brother, my mother, and me, or something like that.
Well, if they're thinking of adding a subtitle or something, the I in Whoopi. I'm just putting it out there. I know that they didn't want to use my title for Sister Act 3, but I'm always here to help.
I looked it up. It's called Bits and Pieces, My Mother, My Brother, and Me. And it's supposed to be about her family growing up and her life. Okay. So, also, Sunny announced that her next summer read is available for pre-purchase.
Can you tell us what that one is called?
The next destination that we will be spending summer on is... Highland Beach.
Ooh.
As we dive into summer on Highland Beach.
Very exciting.
Yes. I don't know where Highland Beach is. Are these all New York, like, beaches?
I think that they are. Yeah, I believe that they're, like, Hamptons area beaches. I could be wrong, though. Please don't come for me if I'm wrong about that one. I'm just guessing.
And then the last career update that we have is Sarah Haynes has announced that she will be a new guest correspondent on the show. I almost said Watch What Happens Live. But she will be on ABC's What Would You Do?
What Would You Do? That's really exciting. It's actually really exciting because she's been on it before.
Yeah, she did a segment last year about postpartum depression, and I rewatched it before this podcast. And
me too.
She actually goes undercover as a mom who's suffering from postpartum, and her acting is out of this world.
You can tell that she's actually feeling it in the moment. It was like she was playing the part, but you could tell that, like, the emotions were real. And I was like, oh my God, this is like when Lindsay Lohan made an appearance on Mean Girls, and when Whoopi was in The New Color Purple. There's a star. That's a star right there.
Yeah, it's on YouTube if anyone hasn't seen it. But one of the good things that Sarah Haynes brings to The View is that she talks very openly about mental health and depression and postpartum. So she had an authentic tie-in experience to pull from with her acting. But it's just, it was so crazy because it starts out with her just like kind of doing an interview about it and watching behind the scenes the other actors do the scene. Because the scene is like there's a person with postpartum depression and then they're in a restaurant and either the husband or a friend gives bad advice and then they try to see if anyone else in the restaurant will intervene and give better advice. And it starts out with just Sarah watching behind the scenes, but then she swaps in with the mom.
They throw her in the scene. They put her in an airy off-the-shoulder sweatshirt and throw her right in there.
Yeah. So at first, when I saw that she was going to be a guest correspondent, I was like, oh, she's just going to be like, you know, behind the scenes, like chatting with the host about the message or whatever.
Yeah.
But then now I'm like, is she going to be going undercover on the show?
They're putting her in there. Joy said, when they were talking about this on The View, Joy said, you're supposed to be anonymous on that. Everyone will know you. And Sarah's like, no, they won't. Sarah doesn't think that she's like recognizable to the average American, which I think is like, I don't know. I think that's misguided. I would sure as hell recognize Sarah Haynes. Guardrail would be off if I saw Sarah Haynes in a restaurant. Let me just say that.
Crying, so, let alone.
Crying. Oh my God. Like, so... But I guess she's such a good actress that she can convince people that she's not the Sarah Haynes.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. Like, this is a good project for her. Like, I'm so excited to watch these episodes and see what she's going to do. See what would you do, Sarah Haynes, as a host, an actor.
One thing that I wanted to mention is when they talked about it on The View, Whoopi was introducing it and she said, Sarah is joining the show about how people behave when they think no one's watching. And Joy goes, the podcast? And Sarah goes, everyone's watching that. Brian would let you know. Like, was Joy trying to like make a dig that like no one's watching or I guess listening to their podcast?
She was talking about Meghan McCain enters the chat.
I have fully had a moment where I was like, is this fucking play about us?
Back to what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
What
would you do?
I struggle with this show because I have a thing where when I'm in public, I hate to think that people are overhearing me talking in public places. God. When I'm in a restaurant, if I'm seated really close to the table beside me, I'm like whispering because I don't know why. It's not that I'm talking about anything scandalous, but I just don't like the idea of being perceived by people in public.
Yeah.
So I struggle with this show because I always think so many of these scenes take place in a restaurant that I'm like, how loud are these actors talking that the people seated across the room are getting up out of their seat and coming over to be like, oh, it's okay. Like, don't listen to him. I don't know.
The other thing, like, similar to that is, like, not only do I not like being perceived in public, I don't want people to know that I'm perceiving them. Like, I wouldn't... My thing about intervening would be, like, I wouldn't want the person to get pissed off that I was, like, listening to their conversation. And in the Sarah Haynes scene, the girl who ended up, like, coming over to talk to her even started it by being like, I don't want you to think that I was like eavesdropping, but like,
but you're talking really fucking loud.
But you're screaming. So that would be my problem, is like, I would feel like, are they gonna be mad that I was like being nosy and listening?
Yeah.
When you said that so many of the scenes take place in restaurants, it immediately flashed me back to like this one scene that was really popular that plays in my mind all the time, where they're in a restaurant and this young guy is like coming out as bisexual to his friends or his family, and they're very unaccepting of it. They're like, what's even bi? Like, that's not a thing. And this little green-haired woman comes over.
Oh my God, yes. And
puts her arm around him and is like, I'm pan. The way that she has a little bit of a regional accent, it's become such a like thing where people are using it to be like, what do you do on a date? Like, I'm paying. It sounds like she's saying, I'm paying.
But she also walked up to him and she was like, you're bi. And people use that all the time too. They're like, you're bi. Yeah.
You're bi. I'm paying.
Yeah. I love the show, but I think because sometimes people are truly like being such good people and pouring their heart out and trying to help a person in need, to then turn around and be like, we're just actors.
Yeah, that's like, we got you on candid camera.
I think it's like a net positive, but that is the side of it that makes me uncomfortable, because they're like, do I hug you? Like, what? Am I mad? Like,
also, like, imagine being the person who goes up to like Sarah Haynes, you don't know it's Sarah Haynes, and you start being like, I really think that you should talk to someone in therapy. Like, and you start telling her about your own mental health issues. And then suddenly John comes out with a camera. It's like, oh my God, now I've just like told America about my own problems when I was just literally here trying to have lunch.
Yeah.
So like, I don't, it would depend on the scenario, but I don't know if I would always be that person who goes up and intervenes. And there are some where it's way more extreme. It's like, you know, a woman getting yelled at by her boyfriend, or like actual like abuse happening. That's like, I think I would feel compelled to intervene. But when it's two people having a conversation, I would kind of feel like I don't want them to think I'm just being nosy. I am being nosy, but I don't want them to know that.
Imagine you are in a restaurant and you see Stephanie Germanotta receiving the nastiest salad of her life. Of course I'm going to intervene. We must be able to intervene.
Imagine you're at a Starbucks during Pride and they're telling Kelly Osbourne that she can't use the bathroom because they actually don't have a staff bathroom. And she pisses her pants. Would you intervene?
I mean, in the sense that... in the sense that I might want to get a photograph. So, okay. We need to micro-moment our way through the last week on The View. Mm-hmm. Do you think we should call them micro-moments, or do you think we should call them honorable mentions? Because last week I called them both.
I was thinking outside the box, and I was thinking, like, if I'm just thinking sponsors here, I was like, what if it's like the Tim Hortons presents Timbits of the week?
Okay.
Or the Dunkin' Donuts presents the donut holes of the week.
Okay. For this week and probably this week only, we can call it the Timbits of the week.
The Timbits and or
donut holes of the week. Of the week.
Okay, I'll start with Trump wins New Hampshire GOP primary was the discussion. And they were kind of asking, like, so this was about how does Nikki Haley still have a shot? Because now that Trump is, like, winning all of these primaries. And the table was basically asking Alyssa, who has become, like, the Nikki Haley representative. They were asking her, like, why does she still think that she has a chance? Like, what are the actual reasons why she might still have a chance? And Joy said, well, in the words of Lawrence O'Donnell, maybe he'll choke on a cheeseburger. In the same topic, just a side note, Sonny said, like, they were talking about him versus Nikki, and Sonny's like, he's got a mugshot. Like, is he really going to be the president again? He's got a mugshot. And Whoopi goes, I've got a mugshot. And then I was like, what? I wanted to look this up. I looked it up. And I went through archival articles to find out that Whoopi Goldberg was arrested. Let me just get the date here. I believe it was in the 90s. Whoopi Goldberg was arrested at the University of California at Berkeley because she was there performing on the campus, and she joined a student protest against apartheid in South Africa. She was promptly arrested and charged with blocking a public entrance. And then this might be hearsay, but it goes on to say, sporting a bulky coat and her trademark dreads, Whoopi was not recognized by the arresting officer. Indeed, he asked her a rather embarrassing question. Are you a man or a woman? Goldberg, according to the San Francisco Examiner, declined to answer.
That is iconic.
Yeah.
As far as the other thing you just shared, I have no comment.
No, I also have no comment.
That's cool. That should have been an entire episode.
no one like asked her. Everyone's like, when she said he's got a, or when Sunny said he's got a mugshot and Whoopi said, I've got a mugshot. It's like, no one was like, what? Tell us more. They were just like, ha ha ha, yeah.
They're just so used to her weird little comments. They don't even engage anymore. I have a Timbit that I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
In the topic about, there, a woman wrote to Reddit. I think they said a woman wrote into Reddit, like as if Reddit is like a newspaper.
Yeah.
But a woman wrote on the Am I the Asshole thread on Reddit about how, it's basically about like, if you compliment one child and you have another child, do you have to compliment them both? Because I guess what happened is the sister-in-law said to her daughter, you're so pretty. And then there was another daughter there who was not her biological daughter. And then that daughter's parent was like, well, isn't so-and-so gorgeous too? And then the original woman said, no. And then she wrote in being like, am I the asshole for saying that? Anyways, they were discussing this topic, like, if you compliment one child, do you have to compliment the other child too or not? And at one point, they were, like, all talking over each other because Sunny said, you have to pump up your kids. You got to compliment them. You got to make them feel confident. And Joy was like, no, like, that's an entirely different thing. And then as they're talking over each other, the camera cuts to Brian. Why? Who's adjusting his, like,
Because they had they already established that, had Alyssa already said what she had to say about Brian, or was the camera cutting too fast?
No, Alyssa did make a comment where she said, I don't like when Brian compliments us all as a blanket compliment because I want to know specifically what I'm doing good or bad.
Yeah.
But that had come and gone. Like, that was long ago. So as the women are talking, it just cuts to Brian and then it cuts away, cuts back to the ladies at the View. And they're all talking over each other some more. And then the camera's on like a wide of the table. And you just hear Brian go, ladies, 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 you're all queens. You did a great job. We're out of time. We have to go to commercial.
What I think happened is like that he had this like gag planned and they cut to him too quick. They cut to him before they were supposed to. And then, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he wanted to do this gag, and they just kind of went to him before it happened.
Because what I just saw was, I just saw the producer of the show cutting off the Joy Behar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, try that on a Whoopi day. We'll see what happens. I just thought, that's interesting.
But I also kind of felt like they were all in on it. It was like, they were all in a silly, goofy mood. And I think that they... Whether you were having fun with it, I think they were having fun with it.
It just felt odd to me, in the words of NeNe Leakes, stay out of women's business.
Okay, yeah, I do. I agree. I agree with that. Stay out of women's business.
And, like, mind you, I like that they sometimes talk to Brian. I just was like, what is this?
Yeah. My donut hole... My next donut hole was when they were talking about shirtless Jason Kelsey with Taylor Swift. They were talking about how Jason Kelsey, who's the brother of Taylor Swift's boyfriend, he's also a football player, but his season is over now. So he was like attending the game, watching them in the box with Taylor Swift. And I guess he ripped his shirt off to celebrate. So they were talking about that. And Sarah said, I come from the school of thought that you fly your freak flag upon entry.
Waving a fag flag.
Exactly.
I also have a Timbit from this, because at one point as they're talking, Joy basically says, I don't care about this topic. Like, I don't know what we're even talking about. She
said, I couldn't care less about this story. And Whoopi said, I must say you're not alone.
Yes. And I loved that camaraderie. So that prompted Sunny to turn to Joy and say, well, have you ever ripped your shirt off? To which Joy says, well, no. And then Sarah brings up that Joy met Steve at a nudist colony, which we hear about it. We bring it up all the time. Joy was fully clothed. Steve was not. And yeah. Alyssa actually made a really good joke here because Whoopi said, were you clothed or were you wearing shorts? Joy said, no, I don't wear bathing suits in public. To which Alyssa said, neither does Steve.
The YouTube comments for that clip were like, Alyssa had invented comedy. Everyone was like, living for that comment, and they were like, Alyssa is so perfect for this show. Like, thank God we have Alyssa. Thank God, finally a comedian.
They were probably like, what a perfect conservative. Like, yeah. love her conservative view in this topic. Really appreciated hearing her Republican viewpoint in this topic. They love to say that when it's like not even about politics.
I know, but it's like, I mean, her fan base is on YouTube and like, okay, good for you.
Yeah.
Also, when they were talking about this topic and like Sarah said something about how, oh, because they were saying like that Jason Kelsey's wife, I guess, was like annoyed or like didn't want him to do that in front of Taylor Swift because it was the first time meeting her. And Sarah was like, I'm not usually worried about Max embarrassing me. Like, I probably embarrass him more. I'd be the one who would like get drunk and rip my shirt off. And that's like so in line with what you were saying about the guardrail.
Yes.
Like, is that what she means by the guardrail?
Do you have any more?
I did have one more timbit, and that was when they were talking about how Trump threatened to blacklist Nikki Haley's donors from MAGA. He said that they wouldn't be like, he'd kick them out of the MAGA group or whatever. Joy brought up Trump attacking Rosie O'Donnell because he said that, or he had said something about Nikki Haley, like, you know, because after this primary he was like pissed off at her even though he had won. And they were talking on the View about how he has a problem with women, and Joy said that it reminds her of how he attacked Rosie O'Donnell on this show, and he was so vicious to her. And I was like, now we said it. Thank you. Anytime that like someone, and it usually is Joy, brings up like Rosie and what Rosie went through with Trump, I'm like, thank you. Like, the elephant in the room has been addressed.
Yeah, I love that she fearlessly continues to bring up Rosie O'Donnell all the time in front of Whoopi.
Yeah.
I guess if I had one last donut hole, it would just be that I'd like to just mention like how Joy has become such a Swiftie, and it seems to come out more and more. And I'm not so sure that the reason that she is a Swiftie makes sense, because they were talking about these AI explicit images that came out of Taylor Swift and talking about deep fake images in general. Joy said the reason that this is happening to Taylor Swift is because she has a million fans and she's telling people to vote Democrat.
Where and when? Not for a while has that happened.
Yeah. Like, I think it's pretty safe to assume that Taylor is a Democrat and she has in the past encouraged people to vote. But I don't know where this is coming from.
Like, I think that Joy heard that she had at one point posted things on Instagram about people registering to vote, and about specifically, I think it was in Tennessee, she was like specifically encouraging people to vote for a Democrat in that state. But we're talking like at least a couple of years ago. Miss Americana came out so long ago that it's come and gone off of Netflix, I think, like multiple times. So, but I feel like someone told Joy that, and so she has it in her head that, like, that's an ongoing thing, that Taylor's out there being, like, the voice of the young Democrats, but it is kind of a fantasy, because that's not really happening.
It's folklore.
Oh my God.
Okay, do you have anything else you'd like to say, Elizabeth? Because this is just getting good. Okay.
No.
Well, Cruz and Tangos, we have no more show. So thank you so much if you're still listening. please don't be shy. Reach out to us in the DMs. Leave us a voice memo. And until next time, I hope everyone has a great day and takes a little time to enjoy
the performance from the cast of Rent at the 2002 launch of Kim Cattrall's Norwegian Dawn.
Hit it, Abby.
That's all, folks. See you later. John Hansman, the real job creator.
G-O-P. You're all queens. You did a great job. We're out of time. Gotta go to commercial.